Good morning. My name is Casey, and so I want to continue on our series that we have started about 3-4 weeks ago. We are starting the series called Make Room. That means we want to spend this time to discover the person of the Holy Spirit. Who is He? Why is it important for us to understand Him? And how should we respond to the Holy Spirit? So we have started off with, first of all, Pastor told us of the person of the Holy Spirit, right? Who is He in the triune God? Then we look at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He has the power. He pours out His power upon. Last week, we heard from AJ, right? The role of the Holy Spirit in sanctifying us. Why should we be sanctified? Today, I'm excited to tell you a little bit about the role of the Holy Spirit in making us understand who we are in Christ. So the spirit of sonship. So we're going to discover, what does it mean, you know, to be the son or the daughters of God? And where does the Holy Spirit come into play? Right? What does the Holy Spirit do? Why should we make room for the Holy Spirit in this area to be reminded of us as being children of God? And why would God use this concept of son? It seems not very gender sensitive, you know. What about the daughters and so on? So I think we need to probe deep to understand the practices of the Roman Empire when Paul was talking to the Galatians Galatians church. And then I hope at the end, we all understand why it is as it is. And more importantly, we understand what we should do. How should we respond to the word that is being revealed to us? So I like to read this passage of scripture from the book of Galatians. This is the Bible, the epistle from Paul to Galatians. Actually, it's very interesting. You look at the Galatians epistle, it's one of the most emotional, most personal. There are a lot of controversies inside here. But therein, if we are open to understand, we will discover the true gems and the key insights of what God wants to speak to us. So Galatians 4, 1 to 7 says, I mean that the heir, as long as he's a child, is no different from a slave. Even though he's the owner of everything, but he's under the guardian and managers until the date set by his father. So this is what he describes about how the people in the Roman Empire, how they live. And there are a lot of things they do that we don't understand. But Paul makes it very clear. And hopefully as I describe it, then you will see and say, oh, now I get it, what Paul is talking about. Because he explained the behavior, the practices of the Roman Empire at that time in order to bring this same similarity into our relationship with God. So then he says, in the same way, we also, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world, or in some translation, it was the elements of this world. You know, the sun, the moon, the stars, the sky, and so on. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to be one of us, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are son, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, saying, Abba, Father, Daddy. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir through God. Why don't we pray? Father, I truly thank you for your word. The scripture tells us that every scripture is inspired of the Holy Spirit of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that men and women of God will be prepared for good works. So Lord, I want to just commit this time to you and just ask you, anoint you, sanctify the words that I would bring forth, Lord. Just cause this word to be that manna, for this word to be milk to some and to meat to others, Lord, to minister, to inspire, and to reveal, Lord, who you are, so that we, as your children, can respond in the proper way. Father, we commit this time to your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to talk a little bit about what it means, why the concept of son. In fact, I think the proper way to look at it is not so much look at the son, but look at the father. In reality, he has to describe the son, because in those days, during the times of the early Roman Empire, if you talk about daughters, they have no clue. I'm afraid to say, girls, in those days, you are unseen. Girls have no right. But that, we're not here to say right and wrong, but this is to describe that. That is how the world behaves in those days. So we have to speak in the language of those days, not that we agree on it, right? So the word of like women and so on is not so open. So we need to understand that so that we can understand what is it that God expects us to do in terms of our response to Him. So I start off by saying that the person of the Father, and I think this is so amazing because God has designed our lives and the way we live and interact for our own good. Because if we, whether we know or not, when we break this rule and law, actually we suffer the consequence. So God has designed for a family, the father, the mother, the children. This is in His plan. And if we live according to His plan, then this is where we get what we want, the abundance of our lives, peace of mind, and, you know, right, a purpose and meaning in our lives. So let me just prove to you what happens when we don't live. We don't walk according to God's design. So this is a study of the state of fatherhood in the U.S. I mean, we have to refer to the U.S. because Malaysia, not enough data, right? MACC keeping it, right? So in the U.S., based on the latest 2017 statistics, it was discovered that 1 in 4 families are without a father. Whether it's biological, stepfather, that means no father figure. And as a result of this, they look at all the impact of the children who's brought up in a family without fathers. Few things, you can go and look it up, a lot of research on this. The first one is that they discovered that children who grew up in families where there's no father, they are 4 times more likely to live in poverty. Sad. Behavior. They have behavioral issues. In fact, in schools, what they discovered was kids with all these behavior issues, 85% of these kids who are there are found to be from families without a father, full-time father. Now, this we're not just talking about single moms and so on. We're talking about even sometimes at home, the parent is there, but the father is too busy looking for other things. No, work, right? Or busy when they come home. No. So this is the impact. And worse still, on the impact of the children, they get involved in crime and more likely to go to prison. In fact, when they did the study of those youth in prison, they discovered that 85% of the youth who are in prison, 85% come from homes without a father. I mean, I know statistics, we can play around with it, but it's certainly very clear that the pattern is there, right? And then we notice also, right, for the girls, you see? So it's not just only affect the sons, but daughters, 7 times more likely to get pregnant, right, in a teen. Even their health, obesity, twice as likely to suffer from that. And of course, their education, twice as more likely to drop out from high school. And again, when the research was done, for those kids who drop out from high school, 70% of them are from families where the father is not present. Now, of course, we are not here to say, you know, we understand life is very complex. There are currently a lot of families where fathers are not there, single moms and so on. And I say it, you know, I mean, great, great respect to these moms and so on. This is why we want to see how can the church come into play? How can we as a community of Christ, you know, share this fact, share this truth? Not just this. Today, doctors have the ability to put a fMRI, functioning MRI, in your brain. Not just to capture a static image, but to actually see how your brain functions. And from there, they discover a lot of things about addiction, happiness, and so on. So do you know all of us, we're looking for happiness? But I tell you, happiness, it all starts with our brain. That means, what are the chemicals that are found in our brain? And this is true. This is true. It's only the hormones that are produced in our brains. If we have the right mix, then that's where we're happy. Not the bags, not the, you know, titles and position. Of course, money is important. Not important, you give money to me, right? No, money is important, but money and all these material things, it gives you a little bit of moment of enjoyment. But after a while, it wears off. That's why if you have iPhone 10, you're the first one in Malaysia, of course, you're very excited because you can talk about it, you can brag about it. But the moment everybody had the iPhone 10, you don't want to talk about it, then you see your joy gone, right? So while money and all this is important, it only gives us momentary pleasures. But true happiness and joy actually comes when we are able to maintain a balanced lifestyle so that our brain produces these four chemicals, right? Proven by science. The first chemical is that we must have dopamine. Dopamine is produced when we achieve the goals that we set. So imagine in a family, if you are a father, you are a responsible father, you plan for a kid, you plan for a family, and when you achieve it, you are happy, you produce dopamine. Another area is endorphin. Endorphin is the human morphine. Without endorphin, we are not able to resist, persevere when we face some difficulty. So that's why we need endorphin, so that we don't give up easily. We are able to bear through difficulties. And in a healthy family, that's what parents do. Parents sacrifice for their children. And when they sacrifice, they find it difficult. But if they see that the value of helping the children is so important, what happens? The brain produces endorphin. And we are able to overcome difficulties, stay up late at night and so on. So we need endorphin and dopamine for us to be able to feel happy. Because without dopamine, endorphin, we don't achieve things. We feel miserable. We feel we are a loser. And automatically, you know, we want to be happy about ourselves. So those were, but more importantly, so dopamine and endorphin is for your personal growth, personal accomplishment. We all need to have that. We need to have that, or else we procrastinate. Without dopamine, never mind lah. The Thai would say, I like or die, anything goes, you know, right? But then, very interesting, you know, God has designed our brain that we cannot just only live with these two chemicals that makes us achieve success, be rich and famous and so on. That's why there are many people who are rich and famous. They are not happy. They suffer from depression. And you know what causes depression? When their brain do not have enough serotonin. And how does one get serotonin? When you achieve something, you sacrifice your life, you do all these things, and you are recognized for it. The moment you recognize, your brain produces serotonin. But more importantly, the person who helps you achieve that, when they see you achieving that award and so on, they clap, their brain also produces serotonin. Now you see why, as a father, your job as a father to nurture your child, to give them the best, to grow them and make them achieve success, when they do that, you are so proud of your kid. But more importantly, you receive serotonin. You notice in Oscar nomination award, the winner, when they go up, they will always have one common thing they focus on. Mom, I couldn't have done it without you. Dad, it's always one person. God has designed for us to be social beings, to help each other. Then when we do that, the natural serotonin comes about. But some of us, we want to have shortcut. We do not want to go and nurture and invest in people's life. So what do? We make a lot of money. We wear very expensive clothes. LB. Not LV. Yeah. LB, I got no money. LB, you know, right? And all this kind of bag. Because we hope that this one will help us feel respectful. But it's short term. And ultimately, oxytocin. Oxytocin is a chemical in our brains that even big startup companies like Google, Facebook, Amazon, Zappos, they all try to nurture in the environment. You know why? Because when you have oxytocin, that's when you're more creative. When you have oxytocin, your immune system goes up. When there's a flu and bug around, you don't get caught. Oxytocin makes you happier, lets you sleep better, and make you live longer. And my friend, it is in the setting of a family that God has designed that when we all live and walk according to the ways of God and play into that role, these are the natural chemicals that is produced if we do it right. But unfortunately, we get so caught up with our world. We get so caught up because other people are having more. I want to have more, right? I feel that if I don't grab this one, other people grab this. That is a slave mentality. That's why we sang the song. We live out of fear. We do things because of forces outside. So that's why today, I want us to look at what the Bible says to us about the role of children of God, right? Let me explain later on what I mean by sonship of God. But not only in the social setting that we've discovered the impact of absent fathers. What does the Bible say about fatherhood? Do you remember when Jesus came to walk on earth and he taught his disciples and so on, and one day he was praying and Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And it is the first time that Jesus taught the disciples. And you know what he said? Actually, in some translations, "Our Father." He doesn't say God, "our God." He says, "our Father." So the whole purpose of Jesus coming on earth is in the context of being a family. That's why we are called brothers and sisters. We are not called members, level 2 members, Sam. I'm level 3, you know, because I'm older than you. Right? So we are talking about in a family. The first prayer that Jesus says, that taught us praying, "Our Father." It's not my Father, it's not my God, it's my Lord, my Master, my boss. But it's our Father. And it's all of ours. Now you see oxytocin? Oxytocin is produced when we're with people you feel comfortable with. When a mother nurtures a baby, feeds a baby, breastfeeding, the mother produces oxytocin. When you're with people you can trust and feel safe, you have oxytocin. And that's why Google, if you're going to look it up, if you're going to Google and Google's perfect team. Yeah, because they are very interested to find out what makes a good team. And for those of you working, let me give a good tip. They say that a team that works well, the best team, innovative, high performance, is a team that has called psychological safety. That's a word they coined to describe when a team works together without threat, without fear, without uncertainty. It's almost like a family. You go home, you are safe. You know, when we are unsafe, we hide our mistakes, correct? That is why when we act as a slave, I'm very defensive. Me? You say I didn't come on time? Are you sure? Because why? I don't want to be caught. Because if I'm a slave, I am measured by my performance and result. But if I'm a son of God, I don't need to put on a mask, put on a face. Now you see why God wants to reveal this so clearly to us. So the Bible tells us we are called into His family. And the Bible calls us to go and make what? Disciples. Not going to make Christian, not going to make members, but disciples. I mean, disciples mean people who live under the discipline of God, which means that there are things that I need to be able to be shaped so that I can be part of this family. Because don't forget, we have the rights, there's also responsibility. Even at home, there is a responsibility, obligation of the son to respect the sister, siblings, and so on. All these are responsibilities which we need. So we need to learn how to behave as a family of God, but at the same time, not forget that we do this because of our relationship with God, not because of fear, punishment, reward. So this is what we understand. So now I want to explain a little bit, why does Paul focus on sons? Because as I said, he's writing during the time where women and daughters are not in a public scene. They don't have any right, unfortunately. Right? But today things have changed. So in those days, the always focus is always on the sons. So I want to explain a little bit the background of what I mean by adoption and why adoption actually is better than being a biological son in that context. So in the Roman times, this is what the verse says. I mean that the heir, he's talking about the children in a family. These people, the children below the age of 13, 14, 15, right? They are no different from us. That means in the olden times, children, when they're up to the age of coming of age, which is about 13 to 17, they are being looked after by a master slave. And the master slave's name is called pedagogue. So if those of you in teaching, you understand that the art of teaching, the field of teaching, science of teaching is what? Pedagogy. So it comes from this word. So you have a pedagogue looking after the child until they are about 13, 14, 15. When is the time for them to change? When the father determines that, oh, my older son now is ready. He is being taught, he's being trained, now he's ready. And you know when he's ready, what do? They have this, finish first. I mean the heir, as long as he is a child, he's no different from the slave. Actually, not much different. Slave and the son, before they come of age, actually they're no different. You know, in fact, the slave has got more power over the son. Right? even though he's the owner of everything, but he's under the guardian and managers of the, until the date set by the Father. So the date set by the Father could be from 13 onwards, but the dad will decide. Now this son, he's ready, he's mature, he has learned, you know, our values, our obligations, and so on. Now it's time for me to make him into a full-fledged son. And they call it the adoption. I'm going to adopt my son as my full-fledged coming of a son. And you know what they do? They will get the son to walk down the main street to the forum, carrying all his toys and so on. And they will bring a set of new robes, the adult robes. So when he's over there, that is when the father will publicly announce and say, today, I declare my child to be the son. Sometimes it can be joint heirs. They have the joint heir, the siblings. Sometimes when the father, or not the father, the family has got no sons, they will pick someone from the community and adopt them. Sometimes their son combined to with someone outside. So here's the thing. That's why adoption is more significant compared being a biological son. That means you can have a child who's very disobedient, don't want to learn and so on. The father can say, you are my biological son, but when you come on age, I will not choose you to adopt you, I will choose someone outside to be adopted. So now you see why Paul says that, please, don't misunderstand and think that in our present world, adoption is considered second class. But in those days, if you're adopted, you cannot be disowned. Once it became public, you already carry the name and you have access to the heir. So in those days, don't be so proud that you are biologically connected. Because the key, the turning point is when they declare that you are my son. As you can see, this is a picture, they call it the liberalia. That means when a child is come of age. So I think this is very important because we misunderstand and say that, oh, the Bible is very gender discriminating. Why are you talking about son? Because if Paul talks about children, the people there would have no understanding. The people in those days understand that the son is the one who gets the rights, the power, and so on. So the moment a son is being declared publicly, what happens? The slave is being dismissed. So now the son has to lead his own life. So I want us to spend some time to just look at the mentality of the slave and son. Because we all have been redeemed into his family. But sometimes our thinking is like a slave. Today we may not see slaves and so on. But you know, our attitude, our thinking, our attitude, our behavior is like slave. What's the difference between slave and a son? A slave does things out of fear for reward, and when they do wrong, they get punished. But a son does it out of love, out of a desire to please the father, want to be proud of the father. And when they do wrong, they're not being punished, they're being disciplined. There's a big difference between discipline and punishment. I punish someone to make you pay for what you have done wrong. I discipline because I have an intention to want to correct you and guide you so that you grow into the person I want you to be. That's why a slave is being used by a master, but a son is being nurtured. So let me ask you, when you are a slave, obviously you are stressed, you are worried, you know, you wonder whether your master is happy with you. I don't want to live a life like that. But how many times in our lives, in our day-to-day, we are not physical slaves, but we are mental and psychological slaves. When someone is doing better than me, I get worried. I feel threatened. You know, I want to talk to my boss. I wonder whether he'll be angry at me. All these are the slave mentality, and the word today tells us we don't need to go under that. And we will figure out how to do. Let me tell you this story in the Bible. If you remember the story of the prodigal son, the son who asked for the inheritance. By the way, the moment you are adopted, you don't have to wait for the father to die. You can immediately claim all the rights, all the inheritance. So that's why it is no small decision for the father to make. Because the moment the father says, I adopt you, you have every right to just take away the property and do anything you want. So here's the story in Luke 15, I believe. The story of the prodigal son. Remember, the younger son took all the property and then squandered it. and then got so much suffering and difficulties until he says, oh my goodness, I cannot believe this. In my father's house, the servant eat better than this. So he decides, he says, okay, I don't think I deserve to be a son anymore because I basically done bad things to my father. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to ask my father to just take me back as a contract worker, a slave, a hired hand. But remember the story. Before he could even ask the father, say, please take me back as your hired hand, the father immediately welcomed him, put a robe, and then, you know, had a feast for him. What does it tell us? God doesn't want us to be his worker. Yes, we work for God. We serve God. But the first thing that God wants is that, first of all, he wants us to be in a family. And then you work. It's a different thing. In a slave, I want to work so that I hope can be accepted. But in the kingdom of God, you are accepted first. So release all the stress. Like Sue said, let go. And let God, you must trust God enough. Or else then it is our issue of our trust in God. That means we don't really believe that he is a loving God. We don't believe he's a faithful God. And that happens because we live out in the world, we look at things around the world, sometimes we get deceived. And that's why the Holy Spirit is here. Now you see today why the Holy Spirit is so important to remind us of our sonship in Christ. Because if not, we get tricked, we put stress on ourselves, we burden ourselves when we don't need to. Because we think wrongly. We're in the mindset of a slave. So, back to this story. The older brother, if you remember, when the father created a feast for the younger son, what did the old brother do? Upset. Huh? Why? Why he did all this one and then you still reward him? But me, I've been here. How come you reward me? You see what is he doing? He is thinking like a slave. He's thinking, I must do things. How come I'm so obedient, you never reward me? And what Francis said, why do we talk about reward? All these things is here for you. If you want to feast it, go and slaughter anyone, and I won't stop you. But you see, the father never said, you cannot eat this and so on. But the older son put it on himself. And he thinks like a slave, like a worker, and always talk to the father as if, actually, if you go and look at the Bible, the son never said, Abba, Father. Never call him that. So to him, it's like the father is almost like a boss. And that's what we want to talk about today. We don't want to fall in the same trap as the older brother. So I want to tell you one thing. Jesus is our brother. Jesus is our brother. We are adopting a family. Jesus won't be complaining. Jesus said, come. Come, share. You know why? Because Jesus knows that his father is fully and richly abundant. Same thing in our place of work. If I feel threatened when my colleague is promoted, that is a natural human response, correct? And that is a slave response. Because are you saying your boss is controlling your life or our Father in heaven is taking charge? I know I go through that sometimes. When people do better than me, I feel a bit threatened. But that's why we are here. That's why the Holy Spirit reminds us, hey, Casey, it's okay. Your father controls everything. Your father has a plan for you. And your father has a plan for that colleague. And so that means I should be inspired by their success. I should say, Jin, fantastic. Hey, share with me some tips, right? How do you achieve this one? Imagine this is the kind of community that we create. If you work in an environment like that, I tell you, your journey up ahead, people will look at you. I tell you this. There are so I meet a lot of people because I do trainings and with all these different companies around the world, and I meet all sorts of people. And I tell you one thing: I sit down with them is that I want to hear their story. I will tell them how you want, and I can tell you right away. There's one guy, you know, he works for a company. He's very good in his technical stuff, and he used to say that in this company, because all the people are always very slave mentality. Hey, this is not my job. This is one and so on. So every time there's some presentation and so on, they all ask him to do. And he doesn't complain. He said, okay, I do it. So anyway, I can't tell company names. But anyway, he did one presentation. And that client who saw him, know what is one, they offered him a position in Switzerland for 2 years. They pay him, I think, five times what he's getting now. So he resigned his spot, you know, and he goes there for 2 years. So I tell you, sometimes we are so calculative, we are so slave-minded that, you know, we get so worried. You know why? Because as a slave, we know we have no access to the inheritance. We have no access to the property of the owner. And it's limited. I don't control it. If Max get promoted, that means no chance for me, lah. Right? So then I get very worked up. Maybe I may even go behind the boss, go behind Max's back and tell the boss something about Max. So these are the kind of squabbling and so on. It comes because we don't trust God enough. God has our back. I know we can feel it. You know why? Because our mind has been conditioned to think like a slave. We've been told at young, you better do it or else somebody take it away from you. So we've been taught, rightly or wrongly by our parents, by the world, that the world is a small limited cake. Right? But if we believe that God can create things out of it, God can create something out of nothing. So if we start to shift our thinking, that's why I want to spend some time to just make us see the difference between a slave mindset and a son mindset. A slave mindset, by the way, if I'm a slave mindset, I also cannot take correction, you know. I cannot take any feedback. You know why? Huh? You mean you say that I did not do a good job? Because I don't want to be seen to be incompetent. That's why I don't feel safe. And that's why Google is saying that we need to find that psychological safety. Because if you have a team where if you have weakness, you make mistake, you admit it, and then resolve it, that would be a powerful team, I tell you that. The problem with companies working because people are so threatened that they hide mistakes, they hide problems, they pretend to know when they don't know. So if you run a company, let me tell you, you apply godly principles, you will have amazing things. So here, right now, I hope we are clear why Paul have to refer to sons and not daughters. Not because he favors sons, because those days when you say that a son's been another, that is a big thing. And this is what I want to show you, that there is no difference in male and female, because in the same book, but a chapter earlier, Paul says this, now that faith has come, he talked about after Jesus has come, and we accept him, we are no longer under a guardian. That means to come of age. For in Christ, you all are sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. So actually, that's what he says. I refer to the concept of son to teach you how important it is, this adoption process. Because that is what people practice in the olden times. But we're not saying that a son is more valuable than a daughter and so on. Because when Christ comes and we all receive in faith, all of us are the same. So that's why the key thing is not so much being a son, but understanding of our relationship with our Father. You all are children of God. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be stressed. You don't have to worry about what people think. Because your Father accepts you all. What? And all. You're fat, you're thin, you're tall, you're quiet. It doesn't matter. Old and new. Old and young. Right? God accepts you. Because God doesn't measure and say, oh, my family average height is 5'6". You're 5'5". Okay, cannot accept. No. God just accepts. That's why it says that, you know, the child, to the mother, the child is always the most handsome, most cute, and so on. Right? That is the love. And this is the same love that God has for us. The moment we accept Jesus at the right time. So when is the right time? The right time is when Jesus came on earth and revealed his purpose. The right time is when Jesus came and told the news of the gospel that he can redeem us. Right? So this is from sons to sons. That's why when you look at the practice of this ancient Roman community, you see that then Paul says, in the same way, as the son is being adopted when they come of age, in the same way, you and I, we were children. That means before we came to know the Lord, we were actually like a son who is under a guardianship. But it's not the guardianship of the master slave, but it's the guardianship of the laws of this world. That's why it says that we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. And in some translation, it's all, we were enslaved to the elements of this world. What's the element? The sun, the moon, the star, because we don't know our Heavenly Father. We try to look for some supernatural spirit for us to guide us, to control us. And that is why we go into horoscope, fortune telling and so on. Why? Because we want to see what the future is for us. And this kind of elementary principles will use fear to bind us. That's why I don't want to be a slave. Anyway, when I was younger, I wasn't a Christian. Actually, I was very stubborn. Many people tell me about Christianity. I always say, you know, why you always talk to me about Jesus? Why don't you just bring Jesus and show me? Why talk like that until people don't want to talk to me? So I used to have all this palmistry and so on. No? Wow. I tell you, you become bondage. Because somebody say, oh, well, your education life, you have some failure. You see, these things down in my mind. And you know what happened? I got kicked out of university 1 year. So a lot of times, our brain, no time to talk about it, but our brain, we can actually, if whatever you believe with all of your mind and your heart, you believe it, it's real for you. That's why the area of placebo, it works. It works. So please be very careful to decide what you believe to be true. Right? Check. You know, go back to them. So he says that, but when the fullness of time come, that's when Jesus came on earth, and because he redeemed us. Remember, how does a slave get his freedom? Slaves are basically shackled, imprisoned, no freedom, and they are basically being treated as an object. So now I sell a slave to this person, and now the master becomes the owner of the slave. So imagine Jesus came into this slave market. We are the slaves over there. And Jesus comes and says, you, Mary, come. How much is it worth? I'm going to pay the price. And then I free Mary. Jesus frees Mary. But of course, the price he pays is with his life. Because the slavery is the slavery of sin. The moment sin entered the world began to deteriorate, breaking up. That's why we grow old. You know, our muscles drop. No matter how much we work out, it cannot stay up. Right? No amount of... I mean, it's good to stay healthy, but don't hope for too long. Because when the time comes, 6-pack, 7-pack, we all go down the grave. Right? So that's why no point not trying to resist, you know, the move of God, because this is going to go on. So Jesus came at the right time to set us free. And here's the problem. We already are free, except some of us, we still think like a slave. As I said, we get threatened, we get stressed, we worry about future, we question God, we ask how come, we compare ourselves with each other. That means we are not thinking of God as our Father who will look after us. I know we struggle. Now that's why God says that the Holy Spirit is here to reassure, to remind, and to be a witness that we are children of God. Because we go throughout in the world, we will get threatened by people. We'll feel insecure. We'll feel a bit questioned. We have doubts and so on. This is all right. This is human life. But what we do is we cannot expect the world to stop, you know, feeding their wrong concepts to us. We cannot stop that. We cannot stop people from criticizing or attacking us. But we have the choice to decide what to focus on, what to believe, and how to act. That's all. And that is our key. So we have already been saved, right? So this is why the Holy Spirit comes in. So I'm going to tie in now. So we understand the importance of a role of a father. That when we are part of a family, we are secure. We have oxytocin, we have serotonin, and we don't have to fear because our Father loves us, right? And Paul says, this is how important that adoption of son is, right? And you have been adopted. So where does the Spirit come in? He says, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of Son into our hearts. And then the moment we receive His Spirit, we cannot help but, Father, you know, whenever the Spirit enters us, there is an expression of, oh, it's almost like you open the door, oh, Daddy, that's that. That kind of intimacy. And then, oh, Daddy, you're here, right? And you feel at peace. But a son, that's why a son, and we have access to his air. By the way, have you noticed? Paul has been called to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter has been called to preach to the Jews. Most of the Jews in those days, they have heard about Jesus. In fact, they have seen Jesus. But the Gentiles, most of the Gentiles have not actually have a face-to-face meeting with Jesus, correct? And he was writing to the Gentiles. Now you see why the Spirit is important, because he says, Jesus came and died. But they did not see Jesus. They hear and believe. And therefore, the Holy Spirit has been given to them for them to be a witness and say, oh, I receive the Spirit of Christ. That is the Holy Spirit. And remember, I told you about that son being sort of having a ceremony declared, adopted in public. It is always done in the midst of many witnesses. So over here, the Spirit is given to us to be a witness and said, hey, you are a child of God. Don't have to think like a slave. Hey, you have access to God. Hey, God loves you. It's all right. God has your back. Don't worry. Don't compare yourself with others. That is the purpose of the Spirit. So now you see why we must make room for the Holy Spirit. Because even though we are saved, I can tell you, me included, there will be times we feel insecure, we feel threatened, we must guard ourselves, we must hide certain things and so on. But then the Holy Spirit says, hey, what are you doing? Why do you have this fear? Why do you put yourself back under the bondage of slavery? You know, Jesus already opened the jail door for you to open. You still want to climb back over the wall. Don't even go by the door, you climb over some more. Because you're so comfortable there. There's a problem. Sometimes we are so comfortable in our old way of life that we want to go back there, even though it hurts us. This is what people call mindless living. You know? Mindless living means that you live in a way you're not happy, but you're still doing the same thing. That is an example of being bondage under slavery. It looks like we have no control. So this is what the Holy Spirit can do to us. Holy Spirit wants to remind us, hey, reassure us. Isn't it? Fathers want to reassure the son that, hey, I love you, I love you. You know? You don't want your son to be asked, your daddy love you or not? Sometimes. No, I love you all the time. You know? So that's what we are like. Sometimes we wonder whether God loves us, whether God is with us. So the Holy Spirit, of course He is. Don't forget. So Holy Spirit reveals the word of truth to us so that we are reminded, right? We are that child of God. We should not be afraid. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. That's why we do this series, because we want to be reminded by the Holy Spirit. So let me close off by showing you, when we are sons, what are some privileges that we have as children of God? Why do we need to know this? So that we can check ourselves. Am I accessing this? Do I have this one? Or if I don't have this one, then I just need to shift. That's all. We just shift our focus from being a slave to a son. That's it. Our thinking, I tell you that. Our thinking, that means focus on right thing. And our desire. Sometimes we know it, but we don't want to do anything. So it cannot change. First of all, our mind must focus on the right thing. That's why we need to know what is truth. Once we know, then our heart must choose to say, okay, the Bible says I'm a son of God. The Bible says I'm a daughter of God. I don't need to be in fear. I don't need to worry what people think of me. I don't have to compare ourselves with others and so on. So you know that fact. But sometimes we know we don't do. Because what? We don't choose to do. So it has to touch our mind, our heart, and then we physically do something. It is only our action that can change the result. If we only just whine and complain, but no action, nothing changes. That's why you see, our church, we believe in building disciples. Because disciple is action. You talk about the Victory Weekend, that is a step towards being disciple. Because a son is being disciplined. Of course, I know we all live in this world, we have got imperfect parents. Sometimes they discipline us out of anger. But that is not the concept of discipline. A discipline is that I want the best for my son. Therefore, when they do something wrong, I want to guide them. You know, I want to teach them. Sometimes I put them through some tough times of training to strengthen them. Of course, Hebrews 12 says, whenever discipline, we are never happy. But when we allow ourselves to do things, that is how we're being shaped. And that is the meaning of making disciples. So while we have the rights to God, don't forget that you also have a responsibility. Same thing, right? You have the right, you have a license to drive a car, you have the freedom to drive anywhere you want, as long as you got Waze, right? But you also have a responsibility to respect other users. You have a responsibility to look after your car in a good condition. So never forget that. This is the law of life. So same thing as a disciple of God, while I want to show you we have all these great rewards and access, but don't forget that we also need to find out from God, how should I behave? Because now not the slave tells us, but you choose to do it. That's why, remember the boy when he's adopted? The slave is no longer there. Now he has to decide. I have access to all my father's wealth. What do I do? So it's led from inside. So the same responsibility is expected of us That when we become a follower of Christ, we must ask God, God, don't have to force me. You tell me what I should do. I will do it willingly. That is being led by the Spirit. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to guide us, not our flesh, not what the world, not what the enemy tells us. So I want to show you three things, the three privileges of son. Very quickly, the first one is acceptance. That means there's no fear. We are accepted. You know why? Because if we don't understand this privilege, even though he's our father, we still act like as if he's our boss. That means I have to perform. Performance in a company means always look good, isn't it? That's why Facebook, Instagram, all this is performance. Only when you look good, tweak a little bit, you know, right? Or stomach squeeze in. Yes? Because you only want to perform for the world to see. But whose life in the world is only perfect without pain, heartache, suffering, their worry, failure? Who posts it on Facebook? You know why? Because Facebook and social media is a performance thinking. That's why when we think about our boss, we also must perform well. And it's very, very, very tiring, isn't it? Imagine if you go home, you have to continue to dress like that with your wife, with your children, look good, everything, you know. Hello, Mrs. Lee, are you okay? You know, right? And then everything must hold in, you know. This is crazy. The moment go back, everything out. But come out, it's like, oh, you know. God doesn't want us to be like that with him, right? I'm not talking about being irresponsible. I'm not talking about being you know, unreasonable. I'm talking about just be yourself. Just be yourself. Don't have to be perfect in the eyes of God because God knows our weaknesses. So the first thing is that we need not have fear with God. That means if we have a weakness, come to God and say, God, I need help. God, I'm sorry. I messed up. But if we think about performance, even when we sin, we try to hide the sin. Yes? We try to justify the sin. We will go to God and say, God, actually, I don't want to do that, but everybody's doing it. Like 1MDB. Right? Yeah, because everyone's doing it. So when we don't have that kind of acceptance, then we try to prove ourselves. We try to show ourselves. And God doesn't want us to do that. Let go. Let go. He knows everything about us. And that's when we can have that oxytocin and serotonin. Because I don't have to be so stressed. Isn't it? At work, you're stressed. You go home, you want to be stressed with your wife and your husband. Why? Because you must perform. Because your husband is taking a checklist. We don't live like that. That's why we go home, we chill, we relax. That's what God wants for us. Right? God accepts us. No need to prove yourself to him. He loves us. Number two, we have access, direct access to him. Because when Jesus came and gave himself on the cross, what happened? Between the holy place and the holy of holies, the veil got torn apart. You do not need a high priest to come and represent yourself to God. Which means that we have direct access to him. No need to be feeling, I'm not good enough. Maybe I need to read the Bible 10 chapters before I can pray to God. Hey, he's the Father. Just pray. Even if you're not sure, just pray. Nothing wrong. Because you know what? You can pray everything, but God just says no. So why don't we just ask? God, I want 10 million, right? And God says, no, I give you $10. Yeah. That's what I did to say, okay, God, I think you know best. $10 is good enough for me, you know? But sometimes we over-worry about ourselves, whether good enough. And worse still, sometimes we slip. We do something that's not right. We think something's not right. And then we feel condemned. So we want to go to God. But God understands all of this. Yes, we must be responsible for our action. If I've done something wrong, I must take responsibility. I must repent. Right? But I don't want to live in the past and repent and make the right choice and get right with God. Now, this is the photo of JFK, one of the most famous president of the U.S. at a time where they had a Cold War with Russia. And you see, he's such an important man and so on. How to see him? Very hard. You have no chance to even get within the compound of the White House. But look under the table. Yeah. That is how a child is like. That is how a father, you know, relates to a child. That even though I'm busy and powerful and people have to see me and so on, but if you are my son, you're my daughter, you can walk in and say, Daddy, Daddy, you know. And the daddy will stop everything. He say, Daddy, I need some water. I tell you, if the president was there, Daddy, Daddy, I need a bathroom. The daddy won't say, send an email to the security guard. The daddy say, come, let me take you. That's what we have access. What does that mean for us? You have some need? Go straight to God. Go straight to God. Don't hesitate. Like I said, if you're not sure what you want to pray, ask God. God, I'm not too sure whether I ask this is right in your eyes. But you know what? I know in my Father. I'm going to ask anyway. And I trust that if you say no, I will accept. That is being a child, you know. But if you're a slave, then you complain. Not fair. How come this person prayed, got it? I didn't. You see, your thinking is like that. So it's very easy, you know. God accepts us. No need to perform for God. No need to get stressed out. Number two, you have access to God. Don't worry. Yes, other people need better. You're going through a tough time in your life. It's all right. God loves you as much as He loved the other person. I tell you that. Why I say this? Because He sent His best, His Son, to die for us. Even when we are not on His side, we are not in His family, He has already offered us. And now you're His family, you worry. That's why I say, even though we are already sons and daughters, sometimes our minds still slip back into the old way of thinking. And that's why Paul says, why do you go back in this slavery? Why do you subject yourself to fear? And this is true for you and I. We cannot help it. We live in this world, they're so complex, there's so much problems and challenges and so on. And there are times when we do fall under the thinking of a slave. But it's okay. It's all right. That's why the church is here. That's why we have life group. That's why we have, you know, we have fellowship, so that we are reminded through the Word and through the Holy Spirit. Then we can shift our thinking. And also, can you see over here? Right? They're all discussing about Russia, how to bomb Russia and so on, and the sun is still there. Right? But that's our access. And finally, we have our inheritance, abundance. So it says that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You see, bears witness. They said the Holy Spirit is to witness that, hey, you're a daughter of God. You're a son of God. Don't think otherwise, right? And therefore, if we're children, we are heirs. And we are heirs of God and joint fellow heirs with Christ. That's why Christ is okay to share all of the inheritance with us. And you have access to that. But some of you may say, oh, but how come I'm not having it? Now, there are a few other things that we must understand. Remember, our journey on earth is a temporary one. While we want to have a full and meaningful and abundant life, but we also need to understand that the world, this world, the moment sin came into it, it is already decaying. It's already been wasting away. And we cannot expect. God will create a new earth and heaven for sure. Now you see why? For the creation waits. So read chapter Romans chapter 8, because it talks about the sin coming to world and how all this come about, life God destroyed, and how Jesus came in and restores us. So he's saying, while the kingdom of God is already awaiting us, we are not yet there in the eternal kingdom of God. So we are journeying through. And what do? We are being shaped, we are being disciplined, we are being prepared for that future ahead. So that's why it says, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning, you know, right? It's been breaking up, deteriorating. We've been groaning together. That's why sometimes you get up in the morning, wow, joint grain. You know, not only groan, but wallet also groan, not enough money, right? You know, relationship also groan. Yes, this is what the Bible says. This is the result of that sin. We don't have a perfection here. So accept it. But still, we can be victorious over all of this. We've been groaning in the pain. And not only the creation, but ourselves. That means creation, ourselves, relationships, money, and so on. It's all been groaning. Right? And who have the first fruit of the Spirit groaned inwardly as we await the eagerly for the adoption of Son? Can you say the word adoption? We are already saved into His family. So that once we're adopted, can you see? Redemption of body. My friend, please think about this. When a person is adopted, you can take the name, you can take the property, but it's one thing the earthly adoption can never do. That is to share the same DNA. But you know, when we meet our God, we will be made anew. That means we will have the DNA. So please imagine. Actually, the change is from within us. It's going to change us from within. We're going to have a new DNA and so on. And that's why you see over here, we have these treasures in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, not crushed, perplexed, not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And for this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. We cannot even imagine it. So we look not for the things that we can see, because the things that we can see is going to die away one day. Yes, sad it might be. But what we truly see is the things that are unseen. That's why what is unseen, what is seen is transient, is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. Yes, God is here with us. We can have heaven on earth. That means I can live, you know, I can live healthy, I can live with a right mindset and so on, and be financially independent and sufficient. But actually what we're looking for is the eternal kingdom that God is going to create. And that is why it is so unique, because we are going to be redeemed from within our body. Our body is going to make whole. You can look at your friend and say, hey, you're going to be perfect. We are going to be perfect. Yeah, today we are groaning and so on, right? Some groan less than others. Sometimes I get a bit jealous because Miko got 6-pack, I only 1.5-pack, you know? But that's it, you know? That's it. We don't have to compare, because one day all of us are 6-pack, but maybe 6-pack not matter in heaven, right? So this is what I want to, I hope that we can spend some time to just reflect and say, God, what does that mean for me? God, thank you for revealing the concept of you being our Father, a Heavenly Father who loves us, who accepts us for who we are, who's willing, you know, to be open to me. And I have this inheritance to share with us. So now is our time for us to make response. May I invite the worship team to come up, right? And let's all maybe stand up as we prepare time for ministry. Let's just stand up. And I want to allow some time for us to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. Because many a times we've been thinking like slaves. We've been behaving like slaves. We've been captured under the bondage of this slavery. And God wants to set us free. God wants to set us free because He has already bought the price for us. So as the musicians come with the music, let us allow some moment, open our hearts, and as we close our eyes and ask God and the Holy Spirit to minister to us. Hallelujah. I'm going to just open up the front over here, and our leaders are going to come up front. I'd like us to say, God, you speak to me. What am I going through in my life right now? What am I facing? Are there areas in my life where I struggle, where I feel fearful, where I feel that I have no power to change, where I feel that I'm powerless, I'm hopeless, and so on? Or maybe some of us in an area where you feel that you abandoned as a child. But the good news here is we have imperfect human fathers, but we have a perfect Abba Father. And all we have to do is accept Christ as our Savior, because He's bought us our freedom from slavery. And all we have to do now is we have to step into His family. And as Sue says, give God whatever it is. So certainly, fears of rejection, fears of underperforming, fears of not achieving, fears of not being good enough, all these are the thinking of that slave which God wants to give up. So as we close our eyes and we maybe, you know, have some music, I'd like us to allow ourselves to be ministered by God. Maybe the leaders can come out here. So those of you here, right, you're struggling with the area where you know that this is not what God wants for you. You're stressed out, your fears, do come out. You know, we can pray for you. All of us, right? Feel free to come. Hallelujah. We can pray against the spirit of fear, spirit of poverty, incomplete, when we feel that we don't measure up, right? Or even in our areas where we are in a season of a life where you feel that, God, why me? Remember, we are disciples of Christ. So there's sometimes God is shaping us. So even if you go to a season of life where it's difficult, do come out. We want to pray for God to reveal, for the Holy Spirit to come upon you, to remind you and say, hey, you are not alone. You may feel the pain and so on, but God has your back. God cares for you. Just come out. Right? Remember I said, we have that access to God. Don't doubt. Don't worry. Don't care what people think about you, because God wants the best for you. Let's come out. Our leaders are out here. I want us to become that sons and the children of God. God has already given to us. Don't don't stop. Don't deprive ourselves. Hallelujah. Father, I do thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that your word shows us the truth that indeed we have been redeemed. We are your children. And we want to just be able to claim and obtain these privileges as a child of God, that we don't have to live in fear. We can come to you. We know you accept us. We don't have to perform. Lord, we don't have to hide from you. Lord, we also know we can have access to you, as right now we are accessing your throne of God. And finally, we thank you that you are preparing us for an inheritance, that you shape us. And even at times when the shaping and the discipline is a bit painful, Lord, we know that you have something good in store for us. We thank you for all this. I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray that you'll be with them and be with them to remind them with the Holy Spirit throughout this week and the rest of our walk. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.